But now on Radio 4, it's time for Crime at Christmas.
The Governess by Evelyn Harvey, dramatized by Barry Campbell and Michael Bakewell, with Angela Pleasance and James Bolam.
My mouse! I want my mouse!
Come now, Pelham, no need to cry, you silly boy. I'll go downstairs to the drawing room and fetch you another.
But Mama will be angry.
You earned that mouse with your recitation. Your Mama will give you another, I am sure.
But won't Grandpapa be cross if you go down now?
You go and see if Mary has brought up the water for your bath. Little boys shouldn't speculate about their elders and betters, you know that. Now off you go.
Yes, Miss Unwin.
Well, Miss Unwin?
If you please, Mrs. Thackerton, I should like another sugar mouse for Pelham.
Another mouse? Surely he should not be given two in one evening.
Oh, no, of course he should not. But the one you gave him has disappeared from the table on the landing outside the schoolroom while he was eating his supper.
But why was the mouse outside on the landing?
You will remember, madam, that if Master Pelham was allowed to eat the whole mouse, which he had earned as a reward for his recitation, he did not finish his bread and milk, so that we agreed he should take only one piece until...
Ah, and the boy munches off the mouse's head in one good bite, eh?
Yes, sir.
He'll do. That boy will do when he takes his place as head of the firm, eh, Arthur?
Yes, father.
He won't let anyone put anything past him. Not my grandson, not my little muncher, eh?
Yes, but why was the mouse left outside the schoolroom?
Oh, that is quite simple, madam. I found that just looking at his teeth stopped Pelham from eating up his supper. So he and I agreed that it should be left outside until he had finished.
And now the mouse has been taken away?
I have only just found that the mouse has gone, sir. Of course, I shall make inquiries, but poor Pelham is much distressed.
Give the boy another mouse, quick as you like.
Yes, sir. Good night, sir, madam. No, Pelham, no tears. You must learn to bear disappointment, you know. Now, show me how brave and sensible you can be, and tomorrow I will try and find out what happened to your mouse tonight and see it does not happen again.
Yes, Miss Unwin, I will be good, and tomorrow you'll catch that beastly thief, and then Grandfather will be very angry.
Well, we'll see about that when it happens. In the morning at prayers, I shall look very carefully at every member of the household to see if I can detect which of them it is. Now, shall we play snakes and ladders?
O God, who art the author of peace and the lover of concord, in knowledge of whom standeth our eternal
One thing
life,
is certain, the thief must come from inside the house. All the doors and windows are bolted as if the place were a prison, and only Mr. Thackerton and Mr. Arthur have latch keys. But it couldn't possibly be one of the family. They wouldn't steal a sugar mouse. Then. So it must be one of the servants. Which? The only one I really know is Wilkins, and it couldn't be her. We were orphans together. None of the others trust me. But they say it's always like that on your first job as governess. They know that I'm really not much better than they are. Is it Harriet or Nancy? But why would either of them do a thing like that?
Amen.
And I can't see Mrs. Brakespear creeping up from her kitchen to steal a mouse. But what about old Mr. Thackerton's maid? What's her name? Simmons. She's got mean little eyes and never makes a sound. But certainly not Mr. Merrings. He wouldn't demean himself to do a thing like that. Nor would Mr. Thackerton's valet. And then there's the footman. Either Harry or Joseph might be the thief. Or what about John? He always looks enviously at the dishes of sweets when they're carried into the dining room. It could very well be him.
Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord.
Well, tonight I'll set a trap, and we'll soon find out who the thief is.
Be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Miss, have you set the trap?
Eat up your supper like a good boy.
But I
if
don't...
If they hear you, they will run away.
Is it one of the maids, or cook, or maids?
We don't want any long ears to hear our plan, do we? Very well. Now, we will tie this thread to the mouse's tail.
Mice's?
Mouse's tail. And put it on the table. Then we tie a bow of paper to this end. So...
It's like a butterfly.
Yes, and if the thief takes the mouse, the butterfly will flutter and tell us so that we may catch whoever it is in the act.
Yes, and Grandfather will punish them.
Now, eat up your supper, and then you may stay up a little later tonight and help me watch the butterfly.
And spring the trap.
Yes. It's time you were in bed.
But the butterfly hasn't moved.
No, our trap has not worked.
Then may I have the mouse before I go to bed?
Not really. Oh, very well. We'll fetch it.
It's gone!
Oh, no, they've cut off its tail. Oh, dear. What shall I do? This is ridiculous. If this goes on, I could lose my place. And all because of a silly, stolen sugar mouse. Well, Pelham, the thief has beaten us again. But we are not going to be beaten, do you hear?
No, we're not. We're jolly well not.
Tomorrow we will set another trap. A better one. Oh, we shall catch the thief all right.
And then we'll roast him. Roast him.
There. What do you think of that?
That's a fine mouse.
A very fine mouse indeed. A plaster mouse.
Full of toffee.
And dusted with sugar. Oh, yes, a very fine mouse. And one that should do the trick and catch the thief.
Yes, Mr. Thief. Just you jolly well wait. Oh! 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 Oh, thief! Oh,
thief! Oh, boy! Well, Joseph, you're caught red-handed. How could you have played such a nasty trick on Master Pelham night after night?
You could always have fetched the boy a new one, couldn't you? You got him on soon enough the first time. I was watching you. But you didn't dare face him again in the drawing room, did you?
I had hoped that this was something that could be settled here and now. But if you take this attitude, I shall have to tell Mrs. Arthur what you have done.
Don't do that, miss. I might be dismissed. Please, miss.
Very well. You will say no more about it.
Thank you, miss. Yeah, thank you.
Well, that is that. Thank goodness.
Now, Joseph?
Yes, Filkins. You should have seen him.
Oh, he's a sly one, that Joseph. But what are you going to do?
Nothing this time. He's had his warning, but if it happens again, it will have to be reported. I can't have him putting me down. I fought very hard to become a governess, my dear. It means a lot to me.
Yeah.
If I let him triumph over me and let things slip, I could soon be back in the workhouse. And that is something I am not going to let happen.
You're still the same determined little Unwin who stood side by side with me in front of the parish beadle. He was a stickler for the alphabet. You came after that little lad who ran away. Now, what was his name?
Twist.
Twist? Yeah, that's it. So you were Unwin, and I was next, so I had to be Vilkins.
Spelling wasn't one of his strong points. Well, Vilkins, my dear, let us hope that Joseph has learnt his lesson.
Well, Miss Unwin,
you will remember, Mrs. Thackerton, that not long ago I had to ask you for another sugar mouse for Pelham when the one you had given him mysteriously disappeared.
Sugar mice? Do you want another one? Has the same thing happened again? Well, why did you not just take one instead of dragging me away from my guest?
Yes, madam, the same thing has happened a good many times since the first incident, and I have discovered the thief. It is Joseph.
Joseph? Oh, the footman. Well, if you found him out, all well and good, but I do not see why I should be bothered over it.
I had hoped that catching Joseph in the act would be enough to bring the business to a halt, but this evening he has taken yet another mouse. Shall I tell Mellings that Joseph is to come and see you in the morning?
Yes. No. Oh, Miss Unwin, I really cannot have all this nonsense put upon me. I'm sure Joseph is not half as much to blame as you seem to think. Now come and fetch poor little Pelham another sugar mouse. I cannot understand why you've left him waiting so long, poor lamb.
Far better they should sleep a while within the church's shade, nor wake until new heaven, new earth, meet for their eternal birth.
Enough, thank you, my dear.
Yes, Mrs. Hackerton.
Tell me, Miss Unwin, what is this I hear about my grandson, poor little Pelham, that you have made him go without his treat for so many nights?
Ah, so you have heard about the sugar mice? Well, poor Pelham must learn to accept the setbacks of life.
If only I had been as firm as that with Arthur. We had no governess for him, you know. Mr. Thackerton was not so prosperous in those days. It was before he was able to use the invention for making our famous steam-molded hats. Yes, Arthur was always a troublesome boy.
Mrs. Thackerton, I had occasion to tell Mrs. Arthur that Joseph has been stealing Master Pelham's treats.
Joseph?
Yes, he was caught red-handed. But I am very much afraid that she does not intend to take the matter up with him. Do you think you could see him?
See him? You mean speak to him? Dismiss Joseph myself? No. No, my dear girl, you are asking too much. You know that the affairs of the house are out of my keeping.
Yes, I can see that such a task is beyond you, Mrs. Thackerton. And since Mrs. Arthur will not take it up, there is only one thing I can do. I shall have to speak to Mr. Thackerton myself.
You must do what you think best, my dear.
Come in. Well, Miss Unwin?
I am sorry to trouble you at this hour, sir, but there is a certain matter which I think it my duty to bring to your attention.
Indeed. And what is this certain matter?
It is a matter concerning one of the servants, sir.
The servants? Mrs. Arthur will deal with it.
I am sorry to say, Mr. Thackerton, that I have already brought the matter to Mrs. Arthur's notice, but she has not pursued it.
Pray, what is this matter that you seem to consider so serious?
I am sure you will agree, sir, that theft, even of trifling objects, is a serious matter, especially when it is repeated more than once.
One of the servants is stealing. Who is it, man or woman? Neither shall remain a day longer under this roof.
It is Joseph, sir. He has been stealing Master Pelham's treats.
Joseph? Well, Miss Unwin, I must say I have not heard anything to Joseph's detriment before this.
There may have been nothing to hear, but I can assure you, sir, that he has been responsible for stealing Master Pelham's sweets night after night.
Will Pelham verify this?
Yes, sir. We caught Joseph red-handed. But let me say that I do not think he ought to be questioned about the matter. It might disturb him further.
Yeah, I dare say. So, we shall have to take your word for it, then. Very well. I shall speak to Joseph tomorrow and take whatever steps I think necessary. And now, good night, Miss Unwin.
Good night, sir.
Has Grandpapa received Joseph yet, do you think?
I expect so, Master Pelham.
He stole my treats. We caught him.
So we did.
We were very clever. All the same, Joseph is still here. I saw him. He laughed at me. If Grandpapa roasted him for stealing my treats, why is he still here? And why did he laugh at me?
I should be most interested to know the answer to that question myself. Most interested. In fact, I shall ask Joseph myself.
When will you do that?
When I can be certain of finding him alone. It is Henry's night off, so it will be Joseph who takes Mr. Thackerton his nightcap of whiskey. We shall be late tonight because Mr. Brattle from the factory is staying here, and I expect Mr. Thackerton will wish to have a word with him. But as soon as he is gone and Joseph has taken in the whiskey, I shall place myself outside the door and corner him.
Yes, corner him and roast him. He stole my mice. He is horrid. Horrid.
Joseph, I want a word with you, Joseph. Joseph, what is it? You're as white as a sheet.
The master, miss.
What of him?
He's dead, miss. Stabbed. He's murdered.
Joseph, tell me, what did Mr. Thackerton say to you when you saw him this morning?
This morning, miss? Oh, the master just gave me a good wigging, that's all.
Stabbed? Did you say Mr. Thackerton has been stabbed?
Stabbed, miss. With one of the library paper knives.
Wait here while I look. The blood is still wet. Freshly scarlet. Oh, my God. No. Joseph? Joseph! Run for the house! The master has not long been dead. Quickly, find Mr. Arthur. Quickly!
Miss Unwin, what is this? Joseph is blubbering and mouthing something about my father. Is he ill? What's the matter? Do you know anything about it?
Yes, sir, I do. I am sorry to have to tell you that your father is dead. He has been killed.
Killed? What nonsense, woman. Come with me into the library. Then we shall see whether... Good God. Good God. Who's done this? The windows.
No, sir. No one could have got in that way or got out. The windows are too high. It is possible, sir. I think that whoever did this is still in the house. It is hardly possible for anyone to have escaped as soon as this. The downstairs windows are barred and the doors are kept locked.
What are you saying, you foolish woman? You are asserting that someone within the house is responsible for this terrible crime. I order you to silence.
I will go now, sir. I must see that Pelham is not disturbed.
You do well to remember your charge. I will send Joseph to the police immediately.
Drood's the name, sir. Sergeant Drood, Scotland Yard. Now, sir, I've had an account of the bare bones of this business from your man, Joseph, as we drove here from Scotland Yard, and I have made an examination of the cadaver. So I propose here and now to put a few questions up and down to whoever I choose to ask them of.
Is this really necessary, after all?
Ah, I see you are offended, sir. But I make no bones about offending you, standing at the head of your own table, though you may be. A murder has been committed, Mr. Arthur Thackerton, and I am here to see that its perpetrator is brought to justice. Now, there are two ways I might go about this business, sir. I could go about it in your way, or I could go about it in mine. If I go about it in your way, I should question each member of the household in turn, starting with your good self and working my way down. And what should I discover by this process? I will tell you. Nothing whatsoever. Each one of those here present, from top to bottom, would tell me what he or she thought he or she ought to tell me. That and no more. But, sir, if I proceed in my own manner, asking my questions here and there as the fit takes me, well, how do you think I should get along then?
I suppose you would get along all the better, Sergeant.
That's it, sir. That's the ticket. I should get along very, very much better.
Carry on then, Sergeant. You know best.
Thank you, sir. Now then, where to start? You!
Me, sir?
Yes, you. You've got a guilty, sneaking look about you, boy.
No, sir.
No, sir. Now, sir, did you open any of the doors in this house last night, sir? Last night, sir?
None of your lies, sir,
is the least bit of good with me, sir. Come on now, young fellow, my lad, out with it. Did you let someone into this house?
No.
Well, sir, we are waiting, sir.
John, stop that noise. Stop it at once. Now, John, just tell the sergeant the truth. There's nothing to be afraid of. Just tell the simple truth.
Yes, it's time for the truth now. And the truth is here, staring every one of us in the face. Oh, yes, the truth. Here and now, the truth in blood.
Blood?
Yes, blood. Here, on the sleeve of this dress, blood.
my sleeve. Oh.
Behold the woman of blood here before us.
Yes, Sergeant. No doubt there is blood on my sleeve. It must have been that the sleeve of my dress brushed against the body. There is nothing more sinister in the stain than that.
That may be so, or it may not. Without evidence, who is to tell? And that's what's lacking in this affair. Evidence. Was there any other person in the library with you? There was not. I have got the evidence of Joseph Green, footman. You were in the library entirely on your own, were you not?
Yes, I do not deny it. But, Sergeant, that was after Mr. Packerton had been stabbed. You know that.
Do I know it? You ask me if I know a certain fact, and I reply, I know what I have evidence for, and I know nothing more.
But you have Joseph's evidence. He went into the library and saw Mr. Thackerton lying there. It was only when he came out that I went in.
Yes, miss. The man Joseph went into the library and saw his master there. But did he see him dead? I took particular care to question him upon just that point as we made our way here in the hansom cab. And what was his answer?
His answer can only have been that he did see his master dead. He came out of the library and he told me that Mr. Thackerton had been stabbed. He said he had been murdered.
Did he indeed? And I suppose that you have witnesses for that assertion?
You know very well that apart from Joseph, no one else was there.
Yes, indeed, I do know that. I know it very well. And I know, too, that Joseph said nothing to me about stabbed and murdered. Nothing at all did he say.
Joseph, tell the sergeant exactly what you said to me outside the library door.
Outside the library door, miss?
Yes. You know very well where I mean. And when. Tell the sergeant, tell us all exactly what it is that you said to me.
Well, I'm not sure as how I can recollect exactly, miss.
Come. Did you or did you not say to me, the master's dead, miss? Stab.
I will say no more than what I said in the cab, sergeant. No more and no less, so help me. And that is this. I cannot recollect seeing any paper knife, nor any dagger, in the body of my master when I entered the library of this, his house, in order to take him his nightcap.
Well, Sergeant, there's your plain statement, unaffected by anything I might have said to influence it. You have heard it said that no one saw Mr. Thackerton dead before I entered the library. You yourself pointed to the bloodstain here on my sleeve. Are you going to arrest me for murder, Sergeant?
No, miss. I have no intention whatsoever of arresting you.
She's going to take you.
Oh, Unwin.
It's all right, Bilkins. I feel better now. But tell me, did the sergeant say anything after I had fainted as to why he did not arrest me?
He said that there were three of them.
Three of what?
Mean. That was one of them. No, not mean. Means. That was one.
Means? Did the sergeant say that I had had the means to commit murder?
Yes. Them were his very words. Almost.
Means to commit the crime. That must be that the paper knife was so conveniently to hand, so means and opportunity.
Yeah, that's it. That's another.
Opportunity. There was no one else present, or so the sergeant believes, or chooses to believe. And so, on to motive. Am I right?
Yeah. That's what we told Mr. Arthur and all of us. You ain't got no motive, so we ain't gonna arrest you.
Well, I hope the sergeant never succeeds in finding me a motive for having done that horrible thing. Yet I cannot believe that he will not find something sooner or later. I very much suspect that Sergeant Drood is the sort of person who must have success, cost what it may.
He's got that look. Well, there's only one thing for it, only one thing to be done, and you're the one to do it, Unwin. You're the one that solved the mystery of the sugar mice, and you're the one what's got to solve the mystery of the dead master. You've got to do it to save your own skin, Unwin.
But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before you all disperse, I have to announce that there will be certain changes in the household routine today. Mr. Mellish will inform you as to your individual duties. I am,
naturally much concerned that the terrible event of last night should be referred to as little as possible outside the household.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Happily, my late father was well acquainted with the coroner, who has been most helpful. The time of the inquest has been fixed for 3 p.m. today. It will be held here in the house.
Well, well, murder by a person or persons unknown. Are you surprised, miss?
I beg your pardon? Oh, I'm sorry. Have the servants forgotten you?
Hmm?
I'm afraid they are not as they should be after the sad event that has taken place.
You are Miss Unwin, the governess, I take it?
I am. But who are you?
Hopkinson. Hopkinson of the Mercury.
A newspaper reporter? I see. And were you let into the house by one of the servants? Yes or no, sir?
Oh, no need for the peremptory. No need at all. If not welcome, ready at once to retire from the scene.
Then, sir, I suggest you leave at once.
Ah, yes, of course. Tell me,
at
were
once,
you ever...
sir. Joseph?
Yes, miss.
Kindly show this gentleman the door. Oh,
sir. Yes, miss.
Did you require something in particular, Miss Unwin?
I came to ask if there is anything you wish me to do, Mrs. Thackerton.
Do? Do? Why should any of us do anything when the new head of the house cannot stay within doors but must go to that person? Why should I care about my duties? Does he?
Perhaps Mrs. Thackerton Senior will find me useful.
Yes, go and read to her or something. Leave me in peace.
Yes, Mrs. Thackerton. But must go to that person? Which person? A mistress, perhaps? Mr. Arthur with a mistress. I wonder if his father knew. And where did he get the money to... I wonder...
Jack and... Jill live in a horse.
House, Pelham. Jack and Jill live in a house. With?
A red door.
Very good.
Come in. You want it in the morning room, Miss... Mrs. Arthur, Mrs. Thackerton, as is, says immediate.
Very well, Hannah. Will you sit here with Master Pelham? I dare say I will be back directly.
Oh, I don't know as I can stay, miss. I've got my work to do.
Well, that will have to wait for a little. Master Pelham is not to be left on his own today of all days.
Yes, miss.
Now be a good boy, Pelham, and try to go on reading the story to yourself. I shan't be long.
Ah, Miss Unwin, at last.
You wanted to see me, Mrs. Arthur?
I wanted you to see this. This newspaper, this disgraceful newspaper.
I'm afraid I do not understand.
No more do I. I do not understand how you could have acted in such a shameful way. Read it. Read it.
Mysterious death of respected hat manufacturer. A murder without a motive by Horatio Hopkinson. Oh, the murder was committed between the hours of 10 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. During this period, only one person is known to have entered the fatal chamber, the governor's resident at 3 Northumberland Gardens, in an exclusive interview with Miss Unwin.
In an exclusive interview with Miss Unwin?
Mrs. Thackerton... Believe me, that man had no interview with me.
That is not my information. You were seen talking with the individual.
Madam, it is true that I did talk to this man. I came upon him in the hall after the inquest. But who has said I talked with him? Let them face me.
It was Joseph. I cannot see that it is in any way material. Who it was did his duty and informed me.
But if you would just let me explain...
No explanations will meet the case. I've made up my mind.
Believe me, I...
No, Miss Unwin... We cannot any longer tolerate under our roof, looking after the well-being of our child, a person who is spoken of in the newspapers in this manner. I do not know whether what the paper alleges about you is true. I presume there must be some doubt, since Sergeant Drew does not seem fit to proceed further. But it's intolerable to find ourselves publicly described as sheltering a person who may have committed that crime. Madam, you are not sheltering that person.
Miss Unwin, I must be the judge of what is or is not suitable. You will go to your room, pack your belongings, and leave this house today, before the funeral procession sets out.
Mrs. Arthur, Mrs. Thackerton, I cannot accept your decision. It is true that Sergeant Drood appears to entertain suspicions of me, and I suppose that this newspaper repeats the vile suspicions he seemed to hold against me. But I am not guilty of that monstrous crime, any more than I am guilty of having spoken to this reporter, Hopkinson, and I require you to show your belief in that. You must keep me under your roof, or face whatever consequences will come of turning me away and implying utterly unjustly that I have committed the gravest of all offences.
Very well, Miss Unwin, since you put the matter in that light, perhaps, for the time being, we should say no more about it.
You rang, Miss?
Yes, Mary, dear. This ought to have been your day off, ought it not?
Oh, yes, but Cook said that I'd better stay in on account of the funeral and everything.
Of course. But is there anything to prevent your going out this evening?
No, she said that'll be all right. I was thinking of taking a bit of an airing.
Would you do something for me instead? Oh, but it's not fair to ask.
Oh, well, if you don't ask, I can hardly say as I will, can I?
Oh, it's all right, Unwin. Whatever you ask, I'll do it. Well, it's this. When Mr. Arthur goes out tonight, I want you to follow him.
What? Follow Mr. Arthur? Whatever for, Unwin?
It's hard to explain exactly. It was something Mrs. Arthur said just after the inquest. She said, why should any of us do anything when the head of the house cannot stay within doors but must go to that person? Mary, it's my belief that Mr. Arthur Thackerton has a mistress.
Oh!
And that his wife knows about it. Now, if I can get hold of some definite proof of this, it might help to clear my name.
But how?
Perhaps I am clutching at straws. But somebody in this house killed old Mr. Thackerton, and I know it wasn't me.
Nor me.
Oh, of course not, my dear. But the more information I can get...
And so when Mr. Arthur goes out tonight, you want me to follow him?
Please. Of course. Oh. It may be a wild goose chase, but
suppose he takes a cab.
Then you must follow him in a cab. Here, take this money.
Oh, God. Follow Mr. Arthur.
What a lark.
Oh, handsome cab. Me in it. Oh.
Oh, Mrs. Breakspear, has Mary Vilkins returned yet?
No, she hasn't. Not a sign of her, miss. These young girls, not a thought in their heads, but men and having a good time.
Yes, quite.
Did you want a particular, miss?
No, it doesn't matter. Thank you.
Well, if she's a minute after half past 10, she'll get the rough side of my tongue, I can tell you. These young flibbity gibbets are all the same.
Why are you so late? Did you find out anything? Tell me.
Well, I found out a lot. Everything. Lock, stock, blooming barrel.
You were right, Unwin.
What, Vilkins?
What?
Mr. Arthur goes to a house in Maida Vale, and he meets a lady there. Lady, did I say? Woman, I ought to have said. Miss Bond, she calls herself. Miss Rahoda Bond. I bet she was christened something I saw it different. Shrimp girl she was once, so I heard.
This person, this Miss Bond, does Mr. Arthur keep her?
Him now, and one or two more before. So I heard at the pub in the corner. But what I didn't hear about Miss Bond, they wouldn't be worth hearing. She owes money, owes high, low, grocer, the butcher, fishmonger, and more besides. And if she goes on that way just a week or two longer, she's going to have the bailiffs in.
That's what? So it's just as I thought. Mr. Arthur does need money, a great deal of money by the sound of it. She must have been pressing him for it, threatening to tell old Mr. Thackerton, perhaps. If only I could be sure of that, I could go to Sergeant Drood and tell him. I must go as soon as possible and talk woman to woman with that creature. There is no hope for me unless I do. Pelham, I told you to get your cap. Put those marbles away.
Yes, Miss Unwin.
Quickly now. I'm waiting. I told you before, we do not take marbles to the park.
No, Miss Unwin. Oh, here he is. Has her husband said anything to you about the paper?
No. What paper, Mary? This paper. And there's something in it about you, so they say. A letter.
A letter about me in the Times?
Whatever. I pinched it out of the library so you could read it in the park. Leave it on the area steps when you come back, and I'll iron it, and then I'll put it back in the library. Here, quick, take it.
Thank you.
I must go now before I'm missed. Now, don't forget, the area steps.
A letter in the Times?
Pelham, where are you?
Can I take my hoop, Miss Unwin?
Not today, Pelham. We're all in mourning, remember? Now come along. Quick sticks. Run, run, run. Good boys.
What is that you have, Miss Unwin?
It's only a newspaper, Pelham.
That's Grandpapa's newspaper.
Nonsense. Now just you run about on the grass for 5 minutes while I sit on the bench. Off you go. Letters. Letters. Ah. Now, let me see. Yes, the Northumberland Gardens tragedy. Sir, it seems to be the general opinion
that this murder was committed by some inmate or inmates of the house, and very possibly by a member of the female sex. We know that women have murdered men, especially that women scorned have murdered their lovers since the world began, and will do so again before the world ends. Great stress has been laid upon the fact that Mr. Thackerton was known as a person of the utmost respectability. But it is also known that his wife has been an invalid for many years, and we have too many instances of men in that situation seeking solace elsewhere to be able to discount such a possibility altogether. No traces of the murder have been found on the premises, with the single exception of the blood that was observed on the sleeve of the governess's dress. It is clear that she was a person with entree to the murdered man's library, and it must be asked how often was she accustomed to avail herself of this privilege at those hours when, by the custom of the household, Mr. Thackerton was alone there and had given orders that he was not to be disturbed. It is very possible that some or all of these questions have been answered satisfactorily, but it does not appear from the actions of the official investigators that they have been. They are in everybody's mouth and in everybody's mind, and it is in the interest of the governess, if she be innocent, that they should be publicly met and dealt with. Signed, Common Sense.
Oh, but this is dreadful, dreadful.
Miss, miss, can we go to the Round Pond and see the boat?
The Round Pond? Oh, yes, of course. Come along, and Pelham, nice little boys, do not shout.
No, Miss Unwin.
Then pass ye mourners cheerly on, through prayer unto the tomb. Still as ye watch life's falling leaf, gathering forever loss and grief, hope of new spring and endless home.
That will do, child. You may go now.
Oh, Mrs. Thackerton, I wanted to ask you something.
Not now, my dear. I'm very weak today. I have undergone a great strain.
It is only a small matter. I wanted to go out shortly, and I want to visit an old friend, a friend of my childhood days who has fallen into poor circumstances and is ill. I thought Mary could take little Pelham for his walk this afternoon, perhaps.
My dear, you ought not to be asking me this, especially now, when I am twice over no longer mistress of the house.
Mrs. Thackerton, I know that I ought to go to Pelham's mother, Mrs. Arthur, to ask this, but may I be frank with you? I much suspect she would forbid my going. It would inconvenience
you her. You have said enough.
Oh, I am sorry.
My dear, there are some things that ought to be understood between people without the necessity of speech. Go to your sick friend when you wish, and if the need arises, I shall say that I gave you permission.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Miss Bond.
Miss,
My maid tells me that you have come from Mr. Arthur Thackerton.
Then I am afraid that your maid misunderstood me. I said that I had come on business concerning him.
I believe that you also told the girl that your business was urgent.
My business is urgent. Perhaps even a matter of life or death.
Not a matter of life or death for me, I trust.
No, for myself.
Then I hope you'll not find yourself disappointed.
I have omitted to tell you my name. It is Harriet Unwin.
Ah, the governess. I thought as much. The governess there has been all the talk about in the Mercury.
Yes, there has been talk, as you call it. And it is because of that talk, because of those atrocious falsehoods, that I have dared to call upon you.
You have dared? Yes, I was beginning to wonder about that. Calling here is a daring enough thing to have done, a very daring thing for a governess in the employ of Arthur Thackerton.
Yes, daring enough to call upon another woman who depends for her daily existence on Mr. Thackerton.
Oh, I don't deny what I am. But you know there's a difference between the two of us. Mr. Thackerton could dismiss you at a moment's notice if he found any cause to do so. But I don't think he's any intention of dismissing me.
No? Perhaps you have had recent reason for believing that. Miss Bond, you know what is being said about me. That I was the person who gave the alarm over Mr. William Thackerton's death, and that this means that in a close household, I am the most likely person to have struck the fatal blow. That and worse. It is not true. None of it is true. But what is true is that someone, some person within those four walls did strike that blow.
Miss Governess, if I wanted to hear any of that, I could read it in the papers.
And it seems you have done so, but you have read to poor purpose. Will you allow me to tell you what are the consequences of what I have just explained? The consequences for you?
Well?
The one person who stood to gain most from old Mr. Thackerton's death is his son and heir, Arthur. He needed money. Needed it badly, did he not?
Yes. No. Why should he need money? What do you mean?
This is what I mean. That here is a room that must have cost a very great deal to furnish so prettily. And it is in a house that must have cost more than a little each month to rent. Where does the money come from?
That is no concern of yours.
I wish it were not. Believe me, I do not like having to come here and say the things I have to say to you. But I have been accused in so many words of killing William Thackerton. Knowing that someone else had very much better reason for doing that than I ever could makes what I asked very much my concern.
That is maybe, but it's certainly no concern of mine.
No? Let me speak quite plainly. To have a murderer as your lover, to have it come out in court one day that he murdered his own father so as to pay your bills, I think that should very much concern you, Miss Bond.
But he isn't. He didn't. Oh, no, miss, you don't catch me that way. It was you, the governess, who was the first to see that body. More like it was you saw the body dead minutes and minutes before you set up the cry of murder. Oh, I know the likes of you, and don't think I'm to be caught in any of your little traps, my fine lady.
Please, please think of it from my point of view. Let me tell you something. I am not the lady of scant means working as a governess that you've probably taken me for. I'm like you. True. I never had to make my living with a shrimp net.
That is not. Where'd you hear that damn lie?
There's no shame in having been what you once were. I'm not ashamed that I was a foundling who came into the world with nothing. So you see, we're two of a kind, you and I. We know what life's like at the bottom of the heap, and we know how hard it is to fight the way up. And something else. Neither you nor I has any intention of sliding back down again. Am I right? So please, won't you tell me the truth? When I know it for sure, I'll be able to see what can be done for both of us.
The truth?
What truth? Arthur Thackerton. Does he have debts because of this house? Were you pressing him for money? And has he said in the last few days that he can and will pay?
There was a telegraph message.
Yes?
It came on the morning after the murder, if you must know. It said he'd pay up after all.
And you had been pressing him.
Yes. I told him if he didn't pay by the next day, I'd go to his old father for the money.
Ah, Miss Unwin, the very person.
Yes, Sergeant. And why, if you please, am I the very person?
Because, madam, I feel it my duty to communicate to you a piece of important intelligence. And Sergeant Drood is not the man to shirk his duty.
But, Sergeant, I should have thought it was your duty to communicate any new intelligence to Mr. Arthur Thackerton.
And so I will, miss. Yet there's one individual, I believe, who has a right to hear it. And that individual is yourself. I make no bounds about stating that it is yourself that I've held under the very gravest suspicion from the outset of this investigation, and not without evidence.
Yes. You saw blood on my dress. Blood that had got there when I went to see if I could tell how long Mr. Thackerton had been dead.
Yes, there's not much escapes my eye, I can tell you. Neither in this house, nor in such other places as I see fit to conduct my inquiries. In places such as the London premises of the Thackerton Patent Steam Moulded Hats Company.
In Mr. Thackerton's London premises?
Yes, indeed, miss. In Mr. Thackerton's office. And in connection with a certain Mr. Ephraim Brattle, confidential clerk to the deceased. As well as having something rather more to do with him.
So, what is it that you have discovered about Mr. Brattle that has suddenly put me out of your reckoning, Sergeant?
Out of my reckoning, miss? Oh, now. I don't think we can go quite as far as that.
But you have come to suspect Mr. Brattle more than anyone else, Sergeant, haven't you? Won't you tell me just what your inquiries at the office brought to light?
You may ask, miss. You may ask, but whether you'll get to know is another question. Still, if you'll take my advice, miss, you'll look in the daily papers tomorrow morning. I dare say you'll find something of interest there. Dear me, yes. Something mightily interesting.
Careful with your milk, Pelham. You're going to spill it.
Yes, Miss Unwin.
Extraordinary.
Something in the Mercury? Not more scurrility about what they are pleased to call the Northumberland Gardens tragedy, I hope.
And why should they not call it that? Surely it's tragedy when your own father is foully murdered under his own roof.
My dear, I wish you would not interrupt me when there is an article in the Times here concerning events within this house. I do think I ought to be allowed to try to master it without distraction. But not only events under this roof, but events at the office as well, at my place of business.
Please, Papa, what does event mean? Why are we having events under the roof?
Hush, Pelham. You must not talk to your Papa while he is reading important things in the newspaper.
But they're things about us, Miss Unwin. Papa said so.
I dare say they are, Pelham, but little boys, you know, should be seen and not heard.
Yes, Miss Unwin.
Apparently the police have made inquiries at the office, and they have found out that Brattle was not only my father's confidential clerk, but that he is also, it appears, the grandson of a man by the name of Gunner, now dead, who is supposed, ridiculously I may say, to have been the inventor of our steam moulding machine, the Thackerton Tube. Seems that the police are questioning Brattle at Great Scotland Yard. Well, I suppose, indeed, that the arrest may have already been made. Though apparently there is some doubt about the exact time the fatal blow was struck. I dare say Sergeant Drood will be here again this morning to complete his inquiries.
And what was the precise time, miss, that you say you heard Mr. Brattle going upstairs to the servants' attic?
Shortly before 10, Sergeant.
Shortly before 10, no later?
No, Sergeant. I am certain of that.
Very well, miss. You may go.
Thank you. Come, Pelham. It is time for your walk. Are you ready?
Yes, Miss Unwin.
Then we will go to the Round Pond. One moment, Pelham, dear. I think the police sergeant is in the hall. We mustn't disturb him. You can sit on the top step there for a little.
Yes, Miss Unwin.
I'll just go down and see what is happening.
If I was to tell you I had it on best information that Mr. William Thackerton was dead mutton when Ephraim Brattle left that library, would you dare to tell me you heard Mr. Thackerton a coughing and a spluttering after that time?
Well, I tell you it wasn't true, Sergeant. Well, I'd have to tell you so, wouldn't I? Because I did hear the master coughing the way he always did with that little dry cough.
Now listen to me, lad. Listen to me and I'll tell you a bit of a tale. There was once upon a time a criminal of my acquaintance. Let's call him Dirty Guts. Well, Dirty Guts had committed burglary. I knew it. He knew it. But devil a bit of proof had I got. He knew that. So do you know what, young John?
No, Sergeant.
Now, of course you don't, young John. But I'm going to tell you. In the pocket of Dirty Guts' coat when he was searched before witnesses, what should I happen to find but a silver cruet from that very house he had burgled? Now, what is the moral of that, my lad?
Don't know, Sergeant.
Then I'll tell you. The moral of that is that no one crosses Sergeant Drood and goes away scot-free. No one. Never.
Look, Sergeant, I heard the master cough. No, honest, I did.
Very well, then, damn you, have your coffin. I'll look elsewhere.
See if I can't.
So if Mr. Thackerton was still alive after Brattle went up to bed, there's no longer a case against him. Unless the boy's lying. What is that smell? It's aniseed. John is sucking an aniseed ball. Pelham, I think perhaps we can forget a little about being in mourning now. Would you like to take your hoop with you on our walk?
Oh, yes, please, Miss Unwin.
Then go and fetch it from the toy cupboard like a good boy. I have to go to John's room. I want to talk to him about something. I shan't be very long.
John?
Hi.
Where did you get that sweet you're sucking?
Bought it, miss.
Oh, yes? And where did you get money enough to go buying yourself sweets?
Well, I'm getting me wages, you know, miss.
Yes. Yes, you do, John. And I happen to know that your last month's wages very nearly all went on a new pair of white gloves, which you had to buy in the place of the ones you lost. Now, tell me the truth. Someone put into your pocket the wherewithal to buy that sweet and a good many more, too, didn't they?
Well, no, miss, no.
We'll soon see.
But here, you leave that alone. That's mine.
A bag of gobstoppers. And a handkerchief with money in it. 20 shillings. So he gave you a guinea.
No, but
now,
he never
don't
done...
Now, don't lie to me. I want to know from your own lips who gave you so much money.
It was Mr. Brattle.
It was to get you to tell that story about hearing the master cough and to stick to it through thick and thin, wasn't it?
Yes.
Very well. You need not tell me any more now. But you will have to repeat it all to Sergeant Drood at the very earliest opportunity.
Yes, miss. For what he do to me?
Well, you would deserve it if you were severely punished. But I dare say the sergeant will be so pleased to hear what you tell him that you'll escape lightly enough.
Come in.
You wanted me to read to you, ma'am.
Yes, Miss Unwin. You'll find the book there on the side table. Simply read it to me. I feel too weak to make conversation.
Yes, ma'am.
You'll find the bookmark.
High on the summit of the pass stood a solitary inn between them and the sky. At this inn they rested again and drank to the health of Christian and his bride in a jug of country wine. By nightfall tomorrow, he said, I shall hold her once more in my arms. It is now nearly 2 years since I came home to see her at the end of my apprenticeship.
Miss Unwin.
Yes? Am I speaking too loudly? Does it pain you?
No, my dear, no. I have got the headache, it is true, but I am seldom without that. No, I like to hear you read so. I like your vigor, your youth. It is my Godfrey's cordial. I feel I should like a spoonful.
Yes, of course. Let me give it to you. Where is it?
You'll find it in the next room. Simmons left it beside my bed.
I shan't be a moment. Simmons. Blood. And a paper knife plunged into her heart. I've got to get help. Mrs. Thackerton will be vexed that I'm taking so long, but I can't leave her to be discovered by the servants. Joseph.
Was it you that rang, miss?
Yes, Joseph. Another terrible event has occurred. I'm sorry to say that your mistress's lady's maid is dead. She's been stabbed to death. Will you go at once to the police station and fetch an officer? If Sergeant Drood is there, of course, bring him. I will lock the door and keep the keys. Be as quick as you can.
Yes, miss. I'll fetch the sergeant, all right. Don't you worry about that.
Joseph has communicated to me certain information, Miss Unwin, as a result of which I have returned to this house. I now require you to surrender the key to Mrs. Thackerton's bedroom, which I understand is in your possession.
Here it is, Sergeant.
Wilson, you will stay here outside the door with the with this lady.
Yes, sir.
While the police surgeon and myself make our examination. This way, sir.
Thank you.
What does he think I'm going to do? Is he worried I might run away?
It's not for me to say, miss.
Well, Sergeant,
not very long. I would estimate well within an hour. Certainly no longer. Yeah. But it may have been very much less.
That's Mrs. Sackerton's bell. I must go to her. Mrs. Sackerton?
What is it?
Are you unwell?
No, my dear. I'm not ill at all. But I am prey to anxiety. There has been such a disturbance outside. I have heard strange men's voices. What is happening? Where is Simmons? She should have heard my bell. What is it, my dear? Has there been some new tragedy?
Yes, I'm afraid that there has. There has been another murder. I am sorry to have to tell you that Miss Simmons is...
Oh, no. No, no.
I am afraid that it is, yes. Try to take it calmly. But poor Miss Simmons is dead. She has been murdered, too, in almost the same manner.
What is that woman? Have you let her get away?
No, Sergeant. Did not give you an order?
What is it? What's happening out there?
This is not to be borne.
Who has only just come from the scene of a crime, a woman with blood on her hands, escaped.
Sergeant, let me tell you that I scorn to escape from either the constable or yourself. And let me tell you, too, that I am not a woman with blood on my hands.
Miss Unwin, Sergeant, please come here.
Young woman, your employer is calling you. Go in. Go in. You called, madam? If it is in my power to be of assistance, glad to oblige. Glad to oblige.
Yes, Sergeant. There is something you can do for me.
And what is that, madam?
You can listen to me, Sergeant.
I shall greatly enjoy the privilege of listening to you, madam.
Well, I have one thing only to say, and I trust you will hear it with attention.
Certainly, madam.
Then, Sergeant, do I understand that you have implied that you believe the person who has killed poor Simmons committed the crime only just before it was discovered?
Well, yes. That is to say, I do believe it to be a fact that the unfortunate woman was done to death only a very short time before the governess purported to discover the corpus.
Indeed, Sergeant. Purported?
Yes, madam. I regret to have to inform you that such is the conclusion I have come to. Taking into account a good deal of experience I have had in such matters.
I see. Well, then, I see that it is my duty to tell you, Sergeant, that Miss Unwin was here in this room with me for at least half an hour before I asked her to fetch some medicine for me from my bedroom. Does that alter your opinion of matters? And now, Sergeant, I am not well, and I must ask you to leave me to rest.
Of course. Of course, madam. Sergeant Drood is not one to give unnecessary trouble to a lady. I shall see to it that the utmost quiet is kept outside your room.
Thank you, Sergeant. You may go, Miss Unwin.
Thank you, ma'am. Sergeant, if you have no further need of me, I should like to go and make sure Mrs. Arthur Sackerton is aware of what has happened.
Now, miss, I don't see how I can put any particular questions to you at the present moment.
Then I will say good day.
Yes, miss. Say good day to Sergeant Drood by all means. It is a good day for you. A lucky day. But remember this, miss. Times change. Luck changes. A good day may turn into a bad day before all's done.
I do not forget such things, Sergeant, I assure you.
Good day, then.
Why did she lie about the time? Why is she protecting me? Well, it doesn't solve the problem of who killed William Sackerton and poor Simmons. Mr. Arthur would have been at his office at this time of the day. But then Brattle would have been at the office as well. But here he is. Mr. Brattle? Mr. Brattle?
Miss Unwin, isn't it?
Mr. Brattle, I have a somewhat curious question to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Could we perhaps step into the dining room? Mr. Brattle, have you been in the house very long?
An hour or so.
I am surprised to find you here at all. I should have thought that at this hour you would be at Mr. Sackerton's office.
Oh, I should have been there, but I was told to meet Mr. Arthur Sackerton here.
Yes, I dare say you know that I was taken last night to Great Scotland Yard under suspicion of having murdered Mr. William Sackerton.
I had heard something to the effect.
Well, when I learned that I was to be released this morning, there was no case against me, you know, I was told that Mr. Arthur had urgent orders for Lancashire and would be at home here to give them to me.
And have you seen him?
Not yet. I understand he is in the library. Well, I had been put to wait in Mr. Melling's pantry. I had waited so long that I was coming to see whether I had been forgotten when you called out to me just now.
You are perhaps wondering why I called to you, what it is I have to say to you.
Well, you have something to say, no doubt.
Yes, I have, Mr. Brattle. I have to ask you this. Why did you give John that guinea?
What guinea?
No, please, do not try to pretend with me, Mr. Brattle. I will tell you exactly what I know. I overheard John declaring to Sergeant Drood that he had heard Mr. Sackerton alive after the time you had left the library. But there was something about young John all the while the sergeant was questioning him. I found he had been sucking a sweet. Now, I happen to know he has no money for sweets. I questioned him, and in no time he confessed to me who had given him a guinea.
You have told all this to the sergeant?
I have taken steps to see that he will be informed. But no, I have no opportunity of talking to him directly.
Then may I beg you not to do so?
If you will explain why.
It is because if you do, the sergeant will have every reason to believe again that I killed Mr. Packerton. And I did have good reason to, a better reason than he has ever suspected. I dare say you know that Mr. Packerton's father had cheated my grandfather, Mr. Gunner, out of all that he might have made from his invention, the Gunner tube, as I call it. It is the very key to the steam moulding process for hat making, you know.
Yes, I do know. And I suppose that does give you cause to hate and distrust the Sackerton family. But then why did you become Mr. Sackerton's confidential clerk?
Well, I will tell you why, in all frankness. I took advantage of the fact that my name is Brattle and not Gunner to take a post in the firm with the sole intention of getting revenge for what had been done to my mother's father. Yes, I planned and plotted to work my way forward till I was in a position to do Mr. Sackerton some real harm. That was something that took me a good many patient years of endeavour to achieve. But, will you believe me, I found that during those years I had become a changed man, and that in the end I cared no longer for the revenge, but for the work that I had learned to do.
I am inclined to believe you, Mr. Brattle.
So you should. It is the honest truth. So, when the time came, instead of taking what steps I could to ruin Mr. Sackerton, I came to him here, in this house, and asked him for a loan to start up in business for myself in the straw hat line where we could not be rivals.
And Mr. Sackerton refused you?
Yes, Mr. Sackerton refused me.
And when you had seen that his refusal would be adamant, you left him and made your way up to bed. I heard your tread passing the schoolroom door.
But was it the tread of a murderer? I ask you that.
No, Mr. Brattle, it was not.
Simmons. Well, I never. I mean, keeps herself to herself, and never a word for the likes of me. But all the same, to go and get herself murdered, and you finding the body and all. Was there blood over everything, then?
No, there wasn't all that much blood. But if Sergeant Drood gets one solid piece of evidence against me, he's waiting to leap on me, I know, waiting like a garrotta in hiding.
But what evidence can he get? There ain't none, is there?
I suspect he means to dig out something, even if it's something he knows is false. Remember the story he told John about dirty guts.
Oh, but you're safe, Unwin. There ain't no silver cruet he could slip into your pocket. Nor nothing like it.
Well, I hope there isn't. Because if he were to do that, then there would be even less chance than there is now of me being able to put him on the road to Maida Vale that you went on, Vilkins, dear.
Yeah, that's where he ought to be put. Right enough. I mean, up to see the lady there and learn all about how much she owes and who's got to pay the bills.
How I wish he could be persuaded to do that.
Oh, so all we can do is hope, Unwin.
But I can't rely on hope forever, my dear. If by the end of Monday there's been no change, then I shall do my best to tackle Sergeant Drood, come what may.
And tomorrow?
Tomorrow is Sunday, and I suppose nothing will happen then.
Come, Pelham. Walk a little faster, please. Your mamma and papa are drawing ahead.
There's a great crowd of people outside the church.
It's the fine weather, I expect, Pelham.
I've never seen so many.
That's the one. That's the governess.
Margaret! What do they mean? What are they talking about?
Pelham, quickly, come with me at once.
Yes, Mama.
They introduced you, did you? Jessica!
Not fit to look after anyone, let alone a child.
Get inside the church as quickly as you can. And don't sit anywhere near us.
You should have sat in a filthy place a long ago.
The service will be over in a few minutes. Will they still be waiting for me? Will I have to face them again? What right have they to treat me like that? Is that why I'm being punished? Because I've worked my way up from the workhouse? Is that some sort of sin? But I deserve to have got where I am now. I'm not going to let myself be intimidated by them.
Stay where you are, Miss Unwin. Don't leave the church with us. Just stay in your pew until everyone's gone. And don't attempt to come back into the house until I have taken Pelham back.
And that's the end of your job, my girl. It will be instant dismissal for you when you get back. And you'll be lucky to get a bed at the governess's benevolent institution, let alone sleep in your own room. But by then I shan't even be a governess. Shall I have to ring the servants' bell when I get back to the house? No. I have earned the right to use the visitor's bell, and I shall exercise it.
That'll be her, Constable.
Yes, Sergeant.
Miss Harriet Unwin?
Yes, Sergeant. Were you waiting to see me?
Waiting, yes. To see you, yes. To have a word with you. Yes, indeed.
Well, Sergeant, here I am.
I have just one question to ask you, miss.
Very well. I shall do my best to answer.
Now, what I have to ask you is this. Do you recognize this handkerchief?
Handkerchief? Why, yes, it is mine. It has my initials on it.
So it does, to be sure. A H and a U. Well, well. And then, miss, do you deny what this handkerchief is stained with? What could it be, Miss Harriet Unwin?
Sergeant Drood, where did you take this handkerchief from?
I take it, I assure you, miss, I did not take this handkerchief, which you have admitted before witnesses.
Certainly, Sergeant.
To be yours. I did not take it from anywhere at all. It was brought to me by a reliable and public-spirited person who will, if necessary, aver to that fact in court.
What do you mean, brought to you?
Sergeant Drood is a man who's apt to mean what he says, miss, as perhaps you'll come to know.
I dare say, Sergeant. But I ask you once again, where did you get this handkerchief, which ought to be in a drawer in my room? Who was this person who brought it to you? And what is that stain on it?
Well now, miss, what would you say the stain is? Allow me to show it to you more clearly.
Take it away!
Well, miss, what do you say now this handkerchief is stained with?
I would say that it would seem to be stained with blood. Though whose blood it might be, I cannot say. Did one of the servants cut herself? Did she snatch up the handkerchief when she happened to be in my room? Is that it?
Won't do, miss. Won't do at all. Now, supposing I was to tell you where this handkerchief was found, do you think you might sing a different tune then?
I have no idea where the handkerchief could have been found. As I told you, it ought to have been found, if it was found at all, in a drawer in my bedroom.
Well, it was not. It was found exactly where it was hidden.
What do you mean, Sergeant?
I mean, Harriet Unwin, I arrest you on a charge of murdering one Martha Simmons on or about the 4th of the present month, and I caution you that whatever you say will be taken down and may be used against you. Can I help you, Sergeant?
You can indeed, Constable Smithers. Brought you a female on a charge of murder.
Hmm.
Well, I'm afraid I don't see how I can accommodate her. Don't see it at all.
Then you'll have to stir yourself and make shift. She's to be kept here till Mr. Superintendent Heavytree comes over from Great Scotland Yard. Them's orders.
But we're full up. Drunk and disorderly by the dozen.
Not so full as you can't take one female up for a charge of murder.
Well, I'll have to put her in solitary.
You do that then, Smithers, just so long as she's here, ready and waiting for Mr. Heavytree.
Yes, Sergeant.
Miss Harriet Unwin. Well, now, let us see what we can do about you.
I am at your service, sir.
I'm very glad to hear it. Now, just let me ring for a shorthand writer, and then we'll get your confession down on paper, all in the proper
place. Oh, no, sir. There is no question of my confessing to anything.
What's that?
I should like you to understand. My arrest was a grave mistake on the part of Sergeant Drood. Oh,
this will do you no good, you know. No good at all.
On the contrary, sir. Since I am guiltless, saying so as clearly as I can should do me nothing but good.
Now, my girl, no anger, I beg of you. No shouting. That sort of thing doesn't become a young lady.
Young lady? You call me a young lady? Do you know just how much of a young lady I am, or just how little of one? Hasn't your precious sergeant found out yet?
Yes, oh, that's the way of things, is it? You know, it's astonishing how often something of that sort turns up in a murder case. You wouldn't think the bounds of society are broken as often as they are. You'd think, if you hadn't had my sad experience, that people stayed in the station in life in which it had pleased the Almighty to place them. But no. Well, we must see that Drood acquires the full particulars. They'll be needed at the trial.
But, Superintendent, whatever my origins, I did not murder Mrs. William Thackerton's maid, Simmons. What proof that I did have Sergeant Drood obtained?
Oh, I'm sorry to find you taking that to my girl. But since you ask, I'll tell you. The sergeant, who is a keen investigator, has obtained, firstly, a cambric handkerchief with your initials embroidered on it, stained with blood.
But where did he obtain that handkerchief?
He got it, young woman, from where you had hidden it. In the coal scuttle in the room next to where you killed that poor soul Simmons. In among the sea coals, which you might well have believed would have been tipped onto the fire. But, for once, old Mrs. Thackerton did not require a fire.
Well, if my handkerchief was found where you say, then it was put there by someone who wished to implicate me in the crime or who wished to injure me. Tell me who brought the handkerchief to Sergeant Drood.
Well, let me see. Oh, yes. That handkerchief was brought to Sergeant Drood by one Mary Wilkins, or Vilkins, second housemaid.
Vilkins? Impossible. Superintendent, I'm afraid I do not believe you.
It's written here plain as plain in Drood's report. Listen. At or about 10:30 a.m., the second housemaid, one Mary Wilkins, or Vilkins, came to me carrying a coal scuttle. In that scuttle, I observed a cambric handkerchief with a reddish or brownish stain upon it, which I later ascertained to be blood. I asked the said Wilkins, or Vilkins, under what circumstances she had made her discovery. She answered that while she was cleaning the room, she had occasion to notice that the coal scuttle was not full. Wishing to remedy this, she requested Joseph Green, the second footman,
Stop.
To go...
Now I understand how the handkerchief got into the scuttle. Joseph Green put it there.
Oh, that's nonsense. How could Joseph Green get hold of your handkerchief and get blood onto it, eh? Come now. That was the blood of the murdered woman, and you must know it to be so.
No. The blood on my handkerchief is by no means necessarily that of poor Simmons. It could well be from any meat that came into the kitchen. A hung hare, for instance.
Blood from a hare. Joseph Green deliberately splashed a handkerchief of yours with hare's blood and then put it in the scuttle. Now, don't go making things worse for yourself by making wild accusations of that sort. Why should Joseph Green do a thing like that?
Because of the stolen sugar mice. He stole some sugar mice. I caught him, reported him.
Yes, sugar mice, I see. Now, listen to me, young lady. Shall we now call in that shorthand writer and get this business over? once and for all.
No, sir. I have nothing more to say.
Can't I persuade you? It is for your own good, you know. A full confession is much the best way.
I have nothing to confess.
Very well. We shall bring you up before the magistrates tomorrow morning. They won't have any doubts about committing you for trial. And then it'll be the Old Bailey. You won't like it, you know.
I dare say. But it seems I have no alternative.
Oh, so hard. So convinced in evil and so young. Is there nothing I can do for you?
Why, yes, sir. I should very much welcome a change of clothes. Would you be so good as to have a message sent to number 3 Northumberland Gardens? Perhaps a second housemaid could come round with what is necessary.
Yes. Yes, I'll see to that. It's the least I can do. And remember, if you should change your mind...
I don't think I will do that. But thank you for your consideration, Mr. Heavytree. What was it the superintendent said? Why would Joseph do a thing like that? Why?
Visitor for you, I'm with.
Oh, Wilkins, how good to see you again.
10 minutes, no longer.
Oh, Hanwyn, you're in trouble all right now. Yes, I'm in worse trouble than I ever thought I would be.
Well, what are they going to do with you? They ain't going to hang you right off, are they?
Oh, no, my dear, they won't quite do that. They're going to take me before the magistrates tomorrow. I shall probably be remanded in custody for trial at the Old Bailey.
The Old Bailey? Oh, that ain't very good.
No, it isn't good at all. I am innocent of all they allege against me, but I cannot see how I can prove it to them. Wilkins, my dear, I now know who did commit both murders, but there's nothing I can do to prove what I know.
You know who it is, then?
Yes. At first, I thought it might be Mr. Arthur.
On account of Mr. Audubon?
Yes. But now I know it wasn't. It was
Joseph, I'll bet.
Why, yes. It was Joseph. But how did you know?
A nasty piece of work always was.
I'm afraid so, my dear. Since I've been here, I've worked it all out. It was a phrase of the superintendent's that set me thinking. When I told him about the handkerchief, he said, "Why on earth should Joseph Green do a thing like that?" Well, why should he? Unless he wished to make it appear that I had murdered Simmons, to deflect suspicion from himself. All the time, I had been thinking that his attitude towards me was mere petty spite, because I'd caught him stealing sugar mice. But now I realize the truth.
He did it, and he tried to shove the blame on you. But why did he do it?
Because Mr. William Thackerton was his natural father.
Oh, well, no wonder he put on all them airs and graces.
He even has the look of the Thackertons when one thinks about it.
But why Simmons, the maid?
The long-serving Simmons. She must have been Mr. Thackerton's mistress long ago.
Oh, so Simmons was
Joseph's mother. I think old Mrs. Thackerton knew.
Oh, it's horrible. His father and his mother. But why, Anwyn, why?
I can only guess. Perhaps Joseph had ambitions to rise in the world. Knowing himself to be William Thackerton's son, he wasn't content to remain a second footman. And when his father refused his request, Joseph seized the knife and lashed out.
But he must have got some blood on himself.
On his gloves, I suspect, which he then threw out of the window and disposed of later.
No, he must have stolen John's gloves then.
I expect so. I should have noticed that he wasn't wearing gloves when I discovered him outside the library door. And he looked so white and...
No wonder. Oh, I said he was a nasty piece of work.
Oh, if only I had some proof. Some scrap of proof.
That Joseph, I knew all along. And then this afternoon, this very afternoon, him trying to break into Simmons' room. Dare say he thought there'd be some nice pickings.
Trying to break into Simmons' room? Did he succeed? Tell me quickly, did he get into the room?
Well, of course he didn't. Not with me coming along and disturbing him. But he made a joke of it. But I know he'll try again. He wasn't making no joke about trying to get in there.
Wilkins, there must be something in Simmons' room that Joseph thinks would prove him guilty. He must be stopped. But how are we going to do it?
Oh, you're in a real pickle, Anwyn. And you a lady, too.
A
Sadie. Filkins, we are the same height and the same figure, are we not?
Yeah.
Now listen, I want to change clothes with you.
Change clothes?
Yes. Then call the constable to let you go out. But I'll go out instead. They won't come to look at you again till 9 o'clock when they bring you bread and cocoa. I need that time to go back to Northumberland Gardens and get into Simmons' room before Joseph does.
Oh, but you won't be able to break in there.
No, but old Mrs. Sackerton keeps a spare set of keys to the house.
Right, then go on, Edmund. Go on. Here, take this one now while I get out of my dress. Quick now, will you? And now, tie the bonnet. Lovely. Oh, now, here's my purse.
Oh, Wilkins, I couldn't possibly...
Oh, take it, Anwen. Don't be a fool. You'll need to take a cab. You can't afford to waste a single second. Are you ready?
Ready. Oh, here we go, then. Constable!
Good luck, Anwen.
Thank you.
You've been long enough.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Goodbye, then, miss. I wanted to get back to my place. They'll create something terrible if I'm any later.
You're all the same, you girls. Well, you can find your own way out. I'm not chasing after the likes of you.
Now I am here, how am I going to get in? I can hardly ring the visitor's bell dressed in Filkins' clothes. And what if it's Joseph who answers the door? And if I ring the servant's bell, they're bound to ask all sorts of awkward questions. Dinner. They'll be serving dinner now. So one of the maids will come. And if I get funny looks, I'll just have to brave it out.
Oh, Hannah, I am happy to tell you that the misunderstanding has been satisfactorily cleared up at the police station.
Oh, goodness.
I will go up to my room now, and when Mr. Arthur has dined, I shall come down and tell him.
Yes, miss. Only the master ain't dining at home tonight.
But Mrs. Arthur... The mistress is here, of course.
Oh, then I shall see her. And old Mrs. Sackerton?
Oh, Mrs. Sackerton ain't at all well. She's in bed. Fast asleep in her bed, I dare say.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Poor Mrs. Sackerton. Thank you, Hannah.
Thank you, miss.
A great deal to do and very little time to do it in. And what if they've already discovered Filkins? Just take things calmly. First, the keys from Mrs. Sackerton's sitting room. But which is Simmons's room? What if I open Nancy's door and she's in there? But if Joseph tried to break in, wouldn't there be marks? Yes. A whole line of scratches near the lock. This must be the one. But which key? No, try this one. I'll be finishing dinner at this rate. Oh, good. Now, where would she have hidden it? The chest of drawers? But if Sergeant Drood searched the room, he'd have hardly missed the chest of drawers or the bed. So where? Where would I hide something in here? Behind the mirror. No. Under a loose board. That's the place. No nails in this one. Just holes. Small packet wrapped in oilskin. That must be it.
And what are you doing here, Mary Margaret?
Oh, Jesus.
Miss Unwin. How did you get out of your cell, my fine lady?
That doesn't matter much now, does it?
Not much. You've stood in my way too long, Miss Unwin. I don't quite see how I'm going to get out of this new scrape you've got me into. But I dare say I'll think of a way. I've done it each time before, haven't I?
It wasn't me who got you into your scrapes. It was your own greed and your own pride and nothing
was
more...
Was it, my girl? Was it then? Well, I'll tell you what's going to get me out of it now. Now and forever. And that's this old kitchen knife. I brought it to force the door. But it will stand me in better stead now. Come on now, miss. You're not going to get very far with that great heavy water jug. Won't help you a bit. Not when you think... How light and swift a knife can be.
Get back from me!
Oh, gonna make a fight of it. It's more than the other two did.
Yes, your own mother and your own father both dead at your hand.
In my way. Both of them. He owed me. And he thought he'd never have to pay. And she'd have betrayed me sooner or later. I saw she was ready to do it. And now, you're going to join them!
I think I killed him. This time I've really done it, oh my God. How am I going to prove my innocence now?
Name, Joseph. Name and surname of father, William Thackerton. Name and surname of mother, Martha Simmons. Joseph. Joseph Green. I've had my eye on that fellow ever since he took that cab ride with me from Great Scotland Yard the night Mr. Thackerton was killed. There was something about the way he said you would been the first to discover the body that never rang true to me. You can't put much past me in that line, you know. Not very much at all.
No, Sergeant. I am sure no one could.
What a fine ending to the case, eh? What a triumph it is. I'll tell you something. This is the first time Sergeant Drood has made use of a lady collaborator.
Collaborator?
The very first time. Well now, miss, we'll soon have that fellow conspirator of yours out of durance vile.
Bless me. She hasn't touched her cocoa.
Wilkins. It's me, Unwin.
Oh.
Wilkins. I've come to take you out of here.
Oh, Unwin. Oh, it's really you.
It's all right, my dear. Everything's all right now. Joseph caught me in Simmons' room and he tried to kill me.
Oh.
And they know now that he murdered Mr. Thackerton and Simmons as well.
Oh.
I thought I'd killed him. But they brought him here and put him in a cell. It's all as right can be.
Oh, well, that ain't so bad then, is it?
Harriet Unwin was played by Angela Pleasance and Sergeant Drood by James Bolam. Wilkins, Emily Richard. Joseph, Steve Hodson. John, Stephen Tomkinson. Ephraim Brattle, Kim Wall. William Thackerton, Jack May. Arthur Thackerton, Tony Matthews. Mrs. Arthur Thackerton, Susan Jameson. Grandmother Thackerton, Joan Matheson. Pelham, James Holland. Miss Rhoda Bond, Marion Diamond. Constable Smethers, Michael Troughton. Superintendent Heavytree, Stephen Thorne. And Common Sense of the Times, John Rye. With Victoria Carling, Alan Dudley, Anthony Jackson, David Sinclair, and Eva Stewart. The Governess was dramatized by Barry Campbell and Michael Bakewell from the novel by Evelyn Harvey and directed by Jane Morgan.
Crime at Christmas Tomorrow Night is a play based on Michael Gilbert's classic detective story, Smallbone Deceased. That's tomorrow night at 7:45.